You're listening to the Just One Outdoors Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Just One Outdoors Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Austin, and Cameron and I are going to be kind of taking some turns over the next month of he'll host some, I'll host some, just because we have some crazy kind of hunts and stuff planned, and one of those is an elk hunt with Deegan here, who we have on the show today. We're going to be talking some elk hunting, or some prep for elk hunting, I guess. But the first thing that I need to do is actually hit record on the Rodecaster too. But, you know, that's
Don't forget to do that. First housekeeping.
Second housekeeping, if you are watching this, if we upload it to YouTube, I don't know if we will or not. We have some hats. Deegan is wearing one, Just One Outdoors hats. $25 if you guys are interested. That's a little plug for us there on our own show. That makes sense. Over the past week, we have had some troubles with our podcast hosting service, and somehow Apple, like, our show got deleted from Apple. So if you're not finding the most up-to-date shows on Apple, on their podcasting app, go search us, and you should be able to find our show, the updated episodes, and just unfollow the old show and follow the new show. And you'll be able to stay up to date. We're trying to figure that out, trying to fix that. But for now, that's the fix. So without, I think that's all I had to talk about. But elk hunting, I am a week out from leaving, when this one airs, a week out from leaving for Colorado. And I have to say I'm a little bit intimidated, but really excited at the same time. And it's just kind of, it snuck up on us, I feel like. You know, we've been talking about it for so long, but at the same time, it's like, oh, crap, it's here. Like, we leave in a week.
Yeah, no joke, man. It's been one of those deals where it's like, okay, you know, I've been planning it for a year, just tiptoeing across the line, getting some stuff done here, feeling pretty prepared. And now it's here. It's time to go. It's time to have everything ready. And we're just scrambling to get those last minute things buttoned up to be able to get out there. And now comes the question, are we really as in shape as we feel we are, or are the Rockies just going to beat us to death when we get out there?
Dude, I'm a little worried about my fitness. I'm going to be hitting like two-a-days, like heading up for like a soccer season like I used to, just because the last, I think it's been month, I was in the hospital, and then I had some dental work done that put me out. They told me not to do work for, I think it was 3 or 4 days, like any physical, like that would get me sweating. And I'm just like, I obviously got out and shot my bow and stuff, but physically I feel good, but I'm also like, those little hits where you're in the hospital for, you know, a little bit, like 4 or 5 days, and then the 4 or 5 days where I couldn't do anything, not even like a small jog, it's kind of like, well, crap, I wonder what this is going to do when it comes to the mountains. So I'm going to have to hit it hard this week, or this next, this week.
Yeah, it's been one of those kind of same deals for me. Is it's like, I haven't shot my bow as much as I should have been the past couple weeks. It's hard when you live in an apartment and you have to drive 30 minutes to go shoot anywhere a lot of times. But one thing I've always been kind of worried about is my cardio. You know, I've never been a runner. I've never been a long distance dude. I can walk quite a ways, but just to make sure that, hey, I'm going to be good to go when I get out there. I've been going on a lot of jogs, a lot of runs, 2 miles here, 1.5 miles here, mile, and then lifting weights. And I feel cardio wise, I'm the best I've ever been. That being said, I feel like I've lost a lot of my muscle strength doing that.
Yeah.
So like, I was shooting my bow yesterday, or shot, I don't know, 5 or 6.
You were shooting your bow and you couldn't even draw it back.
It got to the point where about that, you know, 5th or 6th group, it was like, okay, I'm a little bit shaky now. This isn't normal for me. I mean, we've been shooting 30 plus targets, you know, every month at a 3D shoot, no problem, all summer long. Well, no, that one about killed me. Last 3D shoot was a little bit rough too. I was like, this may not be good.
Yeah. At least we won't be having to draw our bow back every day, and we'll be able to save that, but the hike ups, the hike downs, all of that, that's going to be, you know, something that you've got to experience once, but myself, I mean, outside of visiting Colorado and doing some hiking, I've never done it this way. Like, I've never had 20, 30 pounds on my back going up and down mountains. So, one to kind of gear this one, because we'll be recording some episodes while we're out there somehow, some way. I'm not really sure how. I may bring this stuff. I may not, depending on kind of what we have. But we'll be recording some episodes in the mountains. But this one, kind of leading up, I was kind of wanting to focus on kind of the prep, how we've decided where we want to go, what our packs are looking like, what's loaded in those. We've kind of covered a little bit, but we can cover it more, like the physical training and the things we've been doing to prepare ourselves, you know, especially in Missouri where we don't have the altitude, the mountains. I mean, we have hills, but by no means are they mountains like what we're going to be facing. And then also cover some expectations of kind of, you know, what are we expecting out of this hunt? And I think let's start there with the expectations, because I think that in and of itself can have an impact on everything else I mentioned in the prep, if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. A big expectation for me is, man, you guys are going to be in for a treat when you hear a bugle in the mornings. I mean, it's just an unreal sound, even at a distance. It's like hearing a turkey gobble on steroids.
Right. And it's like, you remember that first turkey gobble you ever heard. And I'm excited for that, because I've never heard a bugle, you know, besides what you see on video. And, you know, or even in our intro, we have the elk bugle, but it's recorded versus hearing it live. You know, it's just not the same.
Oh, not at all, man. It's one of those deals. When I was out there last, I did manage to get a shot at a bull and misjudged the distance. But my uncle cow called at him, and he bugled within 60 yards. And you want to talk about loud and bone chilling. It was insane. You can hear, like, I'm sure you've seen the videos of a bull elk in the rut just stretching out his neck and just letting loose this guttural growl at the beginning of it. It's so hard to mimic, and you could hear it. It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And I remember I compare that back to chasing longbeards when I was a kid. And hearing one gobble, he'd get closer, and then all of a sudden he'd gobble, and be like, oh, crap, there he was. He was like, I mean, 60 yards behind you, just lighting up the woods. Same difference, or same thing, just on a more extreme scale with elk. And I can't wait for hopefully you guys to be able to experience something like that. My biggest expectation is for us to at least lay eyes on one. It's one of those deals where being out there is going to be, it's going to be a physical challenge. It's also going to be one of those deals where it's a very highly pressured unit, especially with Colorado trying to go away from over the counter. The over-the-counter units that they do have are going to be more chock full of hunters than they ever have been. I mean, we've looked at it on Go Hunt and stuff. I think that it was like a 10-15% success rate out there of just any elk across the board. Now I think that's been bumped up to like 30-38%, which, I mean, we just got to be better than, I don't know, Austin, you're the math guy. I can't do math off the top of my head. I'm going to make myself look stupid, but that's like one in what?
That's I don't know. You're putting me on the spot. Here's my thing. I'm an accountant, but I'm an accountant 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. After that, I'm a redneck. I'm a hunter. Yeah. I'm in the woods. I don't do math.
Well, I think we just showed our intelligence there. So
no, I think I was thinking about that recently and going, kind of, you know, the percentage is so low, but could that percentage be almost a skewed statistic where, you know, you have guys like us who have never been and they're coming out. Some have done a ton of research like we have. Others are like, I'm just going to go, you know, and they all hit this unit in, you know, the course of a month. And, you know, there's only so many elk out there. I feel like it'd be similar with, like, if Missouri was the only place with these big white-tailed deer and people just flocked to it. You know, when you have like, I don't know how many people go out, but 5,000 people go out into one state to hunt one herd of elk, or one giant herd of elk, I guess, I feel like that number gets a little skewed by hunters that aren't prepared, hunters that buy a tag and don't go out, hunters that, you know, whatever it might be, that aren't good shots, beginners, things like that. I feel like it'd be different if you put, you know, 10 guys that know elk hunting in a unit. I feel like success rate would skyrocket.
You know, sure.
So that's kind of my thing, and I was thinking about, so I feel like it's hard to look at the success rate and go, oh yeah, this one's at 38, when I feel like you have to do the math stuff, which I have not done, which is look at it and go, okay, but how many hunters were in this unit? How pressured were these elk? Where was the elk herd at this time? Because, you know, they're constantly moving. Was the herd in this unit? Was it passing through? You know, and look at the year-over-year statistics. There's so much, but ultimately I think it just comes down to getting a little lucky.
Yeah, you know, that's 100%. That's the thing with hunting, man, is I don't care how talented you are, how good of a hunter you are. I mean, it's just like fishing. It doesn't matter how good you are, what you know, what you're throwing on what day. It's going to come down to a little bit of luck. I mean, you can go out in a place where you haven't seen a deer all year, and once you get on them, I mean, you go out there and sit during the rut and see the biggest deer of your life.
Yep.
It's happened more times than once. I think that's happened several times with world record elk. I mean, these guys were out meat hunting and shot like a 400-plus-inch bull elk.
Right.
And didn't even know what they shot. It's one of those deals where a lot of it is going to boil down to luck, and I do believe that a lot of that is true, what you just said. I will say I have heard a lot of people say or work really hard, be in really tip-top physical condition, and get out there and be like, I was not as in shape as I thought I was. When you get out there and you're pushing your body to the limit like that, I mean, it will literally push a man who doesn't quit to the point that he will quit. And it's, you know, it's just one of those deals. Like I've said a million times, you just can't have any quit in you when you go out there.
Yeah.
Another thing about that is we are going out there early enough where, yeah, the elk won't be as responsive to calls, but it's going to be, I mean, hunting over-the-counter units out there is a lot like hunting pressured turkeys here, especially on public areas. Mm-hmm. They just don't respond to calls. They'll answer you, but they won't come to them. So we're going to be kind of hunting like that. Hopefully we can get out there before they've been too pressured. But I wonder if a lot of that is based off of like later season rifle or later season bow season during the rut, when the elk have already been pretty much pushed almost out of the unit completely from people hunting there all month. Just so many variables, man. So many variables, unfortunately, we can't plan for. So, but I expectation wise, my plans are to at least hear an elk, or to hear an elk for sure, and then hopefully see an elk. And, you know, if we're lucky enough, maybe we'll get in range of a couple.
Yeah. What, when you say in range of a couple, what does that look like to you? Is that a bull elk? Is that a, you know, a legal bull elk or versus an illegal bull elk? No. Is that a, like, you know, are you going out for the 6x6, the big one? You know, you're passing until you get the one you want. Or are you happy with a cow?
Man, I'm happy with anything that walks that, you know, is legal, like you said. I believe the unit we're hunting, the restriction is four on one side. So they would call that a 4-pointer or a 4x4 out there. Whereas here, you know, Missouri rednecks, we call those 8 points. but, yeah, it would be a 4-point. On one side elk, or hopefully even if it's just a cow that steps into range. If a bull's covered up, I would wait for that bull to come uncovered and be able to get a shot at it, hopefully. But I mean, if all I see is cows and opening day I get a shot at a cow, I'm smoking the cow. I want to bring home something. Next time I go out there, I'll worry about, you know, okay, I'm gonna buckle down and try to shoot a bull, but this time around, it's like, I just want to get...
Right.
I want to be able to bring some meat home for my wife, because she really wants some elk meat.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of where I'm at, is I'm going out going, I want to kill... Obviously, you know, it's... Ask any hunter. They want to kill that trophy animal. But most hunters aren't after that, necessarily. You know, some are after the mature deer, but you know, a lot just go out, especially there, just to get some meat, to get the opportunity. And I think that's what I'm going for, especially going over the counter, you know, because I feel like I'm spending this money, I'm going out here, I'm doing this, I want to have something to show for it. And, you know, a cow would be awesome just because, I mean, I think I was talking to someone, and who was it? They said, like, they put a cow down, and, oh, it was my grandpa. He said he was talking to a guy that bought one of his four-wheelers, actually, and lives for elk hunting. And he put a, it might have been a bull last year down, but got 700 pounds of meat from it. And I don't know if that was, like, kind of the quarters that they weighed or what, but I was just like, that is so much meat. I mean, that makes our deer look so tiny, which I know compared to an elk they are. But I'm just really excited to get out there and just like you said, to hear one, hopefully see one, you know, hopefully we can get into them and just have a crazy hunt, whether we kill one or not, you know, hearing the bugles, you know, making the, playing that cat and mouse type, game in the mountains would be a lot of fun. But, how has kind of your expectations transitioned into or affected your training and how you're going about that, like physically, what have you been doing to be able to chase these elk?
Well, you've turkey hunted with me. You know how I turkey hunt. I grew up chasing these birds, and from what everybody tells me, I mean, within reason,
this man chasing. Does not stop.
I will run until I drop. And that's kind of been my mindset. It's been the downfall of quite a few turkeys, and it's been the downfall of me chasing turkeys a few times as well.
It was the downfall of our opening morning.
Yeah. Hey, I couldn't see him, so he was not where I thought he was. But
neither could I.
Yeah, that being said, that's one thing. I want to take that aggression that I have towards these birds around here out to Colorado on those elk. And to do that, like I said earlier, it's going to be a huge cardio deal for me. I've got to be able to stay on my feet and keep moving. And on top of that, strength training has been a big thing for me. That's always been something I've enjoyed. But, I chased a bull elk, you know, say 6 miles in a day. Well, now I got to pack him back up the mountain another 6 miles once I kill him multiple times because there's only going to be, you know, 3-4 of us if we're lucky going out there. And that's another one of those deals where it's like, okay, well, you know, we're going to want to get him out of there as soon as possible or her out of there as soon as possible. 100 pounds of elk meat on your back, multiple trips throughout the night. I mean, we're going to be going until we drop, until we probably shoot one. It's going to be a long 8-9 days chasing these elk up that mountainside.
Dude, as much as I want to say I'm going to push through every day and chase them, I feel like halfway through I'm going to be like, you know what? Today sounds like a day to go fish, take our bows with us, and if one pops out, let's pop one.
Yeah.
But just because I'm like, I went down and just got back from the hog hunt, and we were up early, staying out late, and dude, I got home, and I was exhausted. I slept so much, and I'm just like, that was down in Alabama, and I had a four-wheeler to get to my blind and everything. Like, this is going to be a different ball game, but, go ahead.
I was just saying, yeah, I mean, that's going to be one of those deals where it's going to wear us out physically, and, you know, chasing turkeys is frustrating. I can only imagine what it's going to be like with elk, especially like midday. Good thing is about being out there is you pretty much, I mean, of course we'll set up, we'll hang out a little bit when we get back to camp, as long as we're not ready to drop, then we might just crawl into our tents and pass out as soon as we're done. And then, you know, wake up at a certain time, get up and go. But it's going to be a mission. It's going to be a mental battle as far as that goes, because you are going to get tired. I mean, just being out there will physically wear you down. So especially with the way the heat and cold, or, you know, the hot and cold switches and changes throughout the day, and you got different kinds of weather rolling in. I mean, I've heard of people getting snow in early September out there. And then on top of that, you've got, you know, multiple storms just rolling through like crazy. And they just appear out of nowhere. You'll just see like a little pocket pop up. So, I mean, that is going to physically put some stress, physically and mentally put some stress on us. So, again, that's where, you know, physical fitness, good clothes, good boots, spare socks. That's a big thing I've got to keep take with me. I don't care about scent going out there, you know, as much as I want to kill an elk. Mm-hmm. I'm going for comfort as well as that. So I'm going to wind up, I'm going to bring a big old jug of Gold Bond out there with me. And that's going to be my best friend. It's
probably smart. I actually need to write that down as something to pick up from the store myself.
Yep. I use enough of it the way it is.
No lie. So. My... There you go. Writing it down. Boom. It's wrote down. Picking it up from Walmart tonight. Dude, but yeah, it's going to be a grind, and you know, all the work we've put in, I mean, Clyde included, all of us have put in a ton of work physically to get ready, to get in shape, to get in as good a shape as we can be. And, you know, I'm excited for it. I'm also still, like I shared at the beginning, pretty nervous for it, just because I could be in the best shape of my life, which I feel like I'm pretty dang close. But it's like, it's still training here in Missouri and not in the mountains. So that's kind of the fear. But what about your pack, and what's going in your pack especially? What is that looking like? You know, I know we're both running the MRK 6 from Badlands, and that pack, I mean, I got all my stuff in it. I still have a few more things to add, and I think it's like just under 30 pounds right now, but I put it on my back and I was like, this honestly feels really good. It's snug. It doesn't, like, you know, as I'm moving around, it doesn't flop around, and the weight doesn't change where it's distributed too much. But it's a really comfortable pack, so I highly recommend it. But what's going inside your pack that you're considering essential, and what are you more so leaving out of your pack too and saying, I wish I could bring this, but I need to shed some weight?
You know, that's one thing that stresses me out. So right now I've got my father-in-law.
You wonder why I'm asking the question.
Yeah, so my father-in-law.
I'm trying to figure out what you're doing so I know what to do.
Yeah, you've already done that a few times, you know, with your bow, with your broadheads, all that good stuff. I got that right here. I got the Hoyt shirt on. No,
speaking of me doing that, before you say that, the Carney Fours blew through that raccoon. I'm confident they'll work on elk.
Oh, you mean this little doodad right here? Heck yeah. Got the old Carney Four.
Dude, if it can blow through an Alabama raccoon, it's got an elk no problem.
had to test it out. I didn't have any ballistics gel available, so I had to. So a big thing that I've got, my father-in-law, he was in the Marine Corps, still is. I mean, as far as Marines go, you know, you're never out. He was willing enough to let me use some of his stuff. He's been out to Colorado several times, and he wants to make sure that, hey, I'm comfortable, we're doing good. Mm-hmm. So I've got 6 peak refuel meals. That's going to be, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for when we're in the backcountry and we're not at base camp. That's going to be kind of, you know, the good stuff. I've got 2 granola meals. That's going to be, you know, crucial for just nutrition, stuff like that. Give me something sweet too, you know, keep morale up, whatever. And then I've got a fettuccine meal, chicken fettuccine, beef pasta marinara, and then I got like some chicken teriyaki stuff. So that ought to give me plenty protein, you know, all that good stuff as well. Yeah, so I got that. Oh, and I got a breakfast scramble. That's what else I got.
Yeah.
So I've got those. It does look good. So you've got those 6 meals. That's going to be, you know, the high protein meals that we'll be eating. Hopefully, you know, if we're going to be fishing and stuff, I would like to be able to bet on catching some trout. I know how stubborn Colorado trout can be, though. I've fished them a couple times.
Is there a Speaking of which, is there a tackle shop in where we're in the city we're going to be near? Sorry, I have to keep it secret until after the trip.
You overestimate how many times I've been in that town.
I'm just wondering if you remember.
So I was sick when I went out there. I was sick in the truck.
Man up.
I do think that hardware shop there in town where we're going to be getting our tags, I think they have some stuff. And then we've got a store not too far away, like a grocery store. They might have some stuff too.
Yeah. I just always asking the fly shops there, kind of, hey, what's working now? Because last time I did that, dude, what they threw at me, it worked. So I was thinking it may help us catch some, but, you know, we'll see.
I'm sure, you know, most people around there would know. There's that. So, but I've got the Peak Refuel Meals. I've got my Camelback. I decided to go with the Camelback, and you guys talked me into getting one that has a built-in filter where I could fill it up in a creek and keep going if I need to. That's going to be a crucial piece of machinery on this trip for me. My father-in-law gave me a blow-up sleeping mat. To keep me a little bit elevated off the ground, keep me a little bit warmer. He gave me a sleeping bag to use, so I'm really excited about that. I've got a tent that we picked up from Cabela's, a single man tent I'm keeping in there just in case we get on a herd. We're staying out. We're not at base camp. We're just going to pop that sucker up and roll out sleeping bag, sleep there for the night. Obviously, I've got my calls. I'm carrying about, I think I've got 4 mouth calls right now. I like to always have a few, change it up. They sound a little bit different, do different things with them. So I've got those. I'm obviously going to be carrying some protein bars for a snack because as Clyde says, and as I know, I eat constantly, especially when I'm moving. I burn a lot of energy being out there, and you're going to burn even more when you're out there in the mountains. I'm going to be carrying spare socks. You know, hopefully I'll be able to fit a spare change of clothes somewhere in there. I don't know. Just for when I sweat and everything else starts to smell. Obviously, I've got my bugle tube. I have decided to go with a bow spider to hook onto my backpack rather than using the bow hit or the bow holder that's on the MRK. And the reason for that is a lot of people like them, and I'm sure they're great. So I may decide to use it anyways. But a thing about that bow holder is it scares me that it's on my back and I'm not controlling it. It feels loose, and that's a big thing with me, is I don't want my brand new bow I picked up that I've spent countless dollars on to be swinging around on my back as I'm sliding up and down a mountain. So I've decided to cinch it down, and it works great, though, for holding my bugle tube. So I've been carrying my bugle tube back there, and that's going to be where that thing lives, because I can reach over and pull it out like a ninja katana whenever I need it. But I'm trying to keep it pretty minimalistic. I think that's what I have in it right now. I've got my first aid kit in there. Yeah. My wife has went through and done up all my stuff for me and went through it. She's in nursing school, so I had that to benefit me.
Yeah.
And probably carry a few extra water bottles just in case, you know, in case we can't find a stream or run out of water or whatever.
Yeah.
One thing I will be carrying is I'm probably going to pick up some lemon drops, and cough drops will probably work the same, but the air is so dry out there, you'll start to lose your voice.
Yeah.
So that'll be something really good to keep with you. And I might throw some Zyrtec and some ibuprofen in there as well, just for sore joints and allergies, all that good stuff.
Yeah, I actually bought, which I have one that you can use too. Let me grab it real quick. It's a little like pill organizer.
Oh, nice.
But it's this little bay pouch, tiny.
Sweet.
And you open it up and it has all these compartments in it.
Oh, nice.
So, and then you can put stickers on it. So like Zyrtec, ibuprofen, Tylenol. And it just opens, and there you go. So that's how I'm going to organize. And I'm going to bring just about everything because, like, allergies hit me hard in Alabama. So just have allergy pills. Have just everything I need to keep me going. But, man, I keep writing down stuff as you're talking, like, I need to get that. I need to get that. Yep, I need to get that. But I watched – The hunting public has a video of, I think it was Zach who had kind of, he did a gear dump out in the mountains, and he talked about, he had a, his bugle tube, the way he held it was really cool. He had his straps on and everything, and then through like one of his straps, he slid the kind of the mouth end, I guess, and then he slid it through about a third of the way and then push it down, and it sticks straight up behind your shoulder, and it sticks there. Like, it's perfectly there. You can draw, you can do everything, and you don't need a holder or anything. So that was kind of just something, it, like, especially if we're chasing a bull, and you just need quick access instead of reaching over. One thing that I saw. Another thing that I ended up doing is, so I have the Badlands 3-liter, like camelback type reservoir.
Water reservoir, that's what they call it on there.
Yeah. So I have the filter on there that, you know, you can put dirty water in and it filters it right through as you're drinking it. So I have that that I'll use for my drinking water, and then maybe a couple other water bottles or something just in case. But then he had, it's a soft platypus water bottle, and it fits perfectly with the Sawyer, like, squeeze filter. Mm-hmm. So what he did, and which I'm going to end up doing, is he kept it in the front pouch of his bag, and whenever he needed clean water for, like, his jet boil, he just pulled that out, attached the straw to it, and then squeezed water out of it. And he just had the dirty water in there. And so I ended up buying one. They're like, I think it was like 16, 17 bucks for a 2-liter soft bottle. So I'm just going to use that. And then I got a, or I have the Sawyer squeeze filter that I'm going to use and put that on there, and go about it that way, just so I don't have to worry about filtering water all day. And, you know, it'll just kind of ease some of that pressure of, all right, what am I going to do to get water for tonight, or this, that, or the other? How are you hooking your bow spider on? Because when I have everything on my pack, my bow spider doesn't sit, it like sits on top of my pack instead of down on it, and I can't find a good place to connect it.
You know, I've kind of went back and forth on that. I still haven't quite figured it out. What I have thought about is using the, did you get the one that has the belt strap to it? You can wrap around a tree. Yeah. So I'm thinking about the way the MRK runs is you've got the frame there. I'm thinking about running that through there, cinching it down with the bow spider in the middle. That way my bow sits kind of in the middle of it. And another thing I've thought about with that is instead finding a different way to carry my bugle tube, which I may wind up going with that. That way I can run the bow spider there, but when I'm getting to points where I need to have it, like I don't need to have it right away, I can actually wind up using that to give me a little bit more stability and strap it in with the bow hitch on the MRK. Way it's extra secure.
Uh-huh. That makes that's probably what I'm going to end up doing, because that because the way I have it set up right now is awful. Like, it won't hold my bow, and I'm like, I need to figure out a way. So I'm probably going to do that. I know I bought some off Amazon, some dry bags for like, I think it was like 20 bucks. And I got 5 dry bags, and they're super cheap. Like, they won't last long. And honestly, I expect half of them to be kind of have holes or ripped by the end of this. But what I did is I put kind of my puffy jacket, some extra socks, things like that, in the biggest bag, and then I put that in the bottom of the MRK so that anytime I need like another layer, I can just take my pack off, set it on the ground, unclip the my sleeping bag, which is through like the, you know, whatever they call those straps on the bottom, and then just unzip the MRK and grab my stuff. It's going to be a little bit challenging, but that way on the top I have like my first aid, my food, all of that that I can just reach in and grab. And it's all divided by a bag color. So I know, hey, first aid is red. Grab red. And, you know, we'll be able to grab that and grab the tourniquet out of it. It just kind of is better organized for that. My tent is in its own pack. or I kept the bag for the tent around my stuff, and then I have an air up pillow and sleeping pad that I have in there just zipped up. And then I'm trying to think of what else I did. Have my first aid, obviously. You know, I have some quick clots, some moleskin, kind of like some Band-Aids, all that fun stuff that you need. You know, we brush over that, but that's actually very important that you should probably have that in your pack.
You know.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, that being said, I know a very talented writer named Clyde Pratt who just wrote a blog about that one. It's on the Just One Outdoors website. So we'll learn more about first aid and safety in the woods. You can go check that out.
Yeah, and you can always reach out to us, and we can put you in touch with that writer because he knows a whole lot about it. He's actually been kind of leading the charge on that.
Oh, for sure.
And then I'll be carrying. So right now, and this could change depending on, I'm going to go back through my bag and try to cut some weight. I want to be around like the 20 to 25 pound range, I think is kind of where I want to land. But I have right now, I have breakfast and dinner of the Peak Refuels for 3 days. And I think that's what I'll carry if we go, like, if we're not returning to base camp. Just so I have plenty of food. I'll also have, you know, bars and stuff. And I can always, you know, grab one of those meals if I need it for lunch. But that's kind of my plan for food at the moment, is just have a breakfast, a dinner, and then just throughout the day I'm going to be snacking. I'm going to have, you know, like we've talked about, tortillas, peanut butter, all of that, like high protein, just to make it through the day and the trip. But other than that, I have just a knife set or like a after kill bag of just like, I have some small, like, or I have some knives. I think I have 4 different knives that are used for various different things. I figured I'd carry them all, so we just had a sharp knife that could do the job. But I may cut some of that weight. And then I also have just a couple, like, rubber gloves, just because I hate reaching into animals and getting my hands filthy and then eating after that and smelling it all. Just not my style. You can call me a wuss all you want. My hands will be somewhat clean, not very clean. But, yeah, that's what I'm running. Then I also, I'll have my Thermacell. I don't know how bad the bugs will be out there. But I figured I'll have that, and if I don't need it, I'll toss it back in the car. And then a headlamp, which I had a big flashlight that I thought about bringing with, but it's so heavy, and I'm just like, my headlamp is bright enough. I'll just run with this. But I may try to find a small, like, high-powered flashlight that's less weight and takes up less space. Because mine is like, mine is almost like a mag light. Not as long, but weighs about that much. So it's just like, I don't really want to use that. But other than that, I mean, that's kind of what my pack looks like. We'll probably do a gear dump video one of the afternoons out there, just to show people what we've brought, and probably do it more towards the end of the trip so we can say, hey, we use this a lot. We didn't use this at all. And kind of for anyone that's like us who is a deer hunter, you know, give them a little bit of an idea of what we think, you know, they should bring. And, you know, maybe we come up with some cool tricks like the hunting public did that would help us out.
Right. And I imagine we will. I mean, I got something that my dad has always called redneck ingenuity. So when we get out there in the backcountry, you know, and I'm like, well, you know, I don't really feel like doing this. Let's think of an easy way to take care of this while we're in camp over the next few days. Like my uncle, who is a guide, we've talked about him a little bit. One trick he did teach me, and you need to have this in your pack, is your, or especially in your after kit and just in general, is cracked black pepper. The reason for that is when you're skinning an elk and you can only quarter up so much of it at a time, you can put it on there and it'll actually keep flies and stuff off of it. So that's something that I think all of us need to have in our packs for when we do kill one. I mean, just get a big tub of it. It's cheap. Get it from Walmart, just out of the cooking section, whatever. And it'll be a lifesaver in the end of things.
Yeah. I'm also going to have, my pack will probably end up being 30 pounds because I'll also have camera gear. But I'm going minimalistic on the camera gear, as minimalistic as I can on the camera gear. Trevin, like always, backed out. And I'm surprised he didn't back out for the elk trip, honestly. He backed out from coming. We were going to throw all the camera gear on him and carry way more than we needed. But now it's on us.
Now I guess we'll have to rent an actual mule, you know, to be able to carry all the camera gear instead of just having him around.
We've been trying. I'm trying every time I talk to him. I try to get him to start making his way into mouth calls, because then he can start making some elk calls, some turkey calls, and he's slow on doing that so far. But we're gonna let you guys know when he starts doing it, because he's gonna start doing it. I'm gonna force him.
You got to branch out at some point, buddy. Sooner rather than later.
Make some grunt calls too.
Another thing that I have determined that I will be taking out there with me is, I do this every time during deer season, and it has saved me more times than one, is I'm going to be carrying a spare release. And if you can't hear my cat outside, he's trying to break through the door. So, he is having a panic attack right now. But I always carry spare releases in my pack. I carry at least one. And the reason for that is, I can't tell you how many times I have been out in the woods and forgotten mine in the truck or something, or at camp or whatever. So I always try to carry a second one with me. It doesn't matter if you've ever shot with it. It would be better if you have, but just having that with you is a good peace of mind. Like, hey, we don't, you know, the day's not ruined if I don't have it.
Yeah. Having that, and then I'm still trying to decide if I'm going to have Madison's bow reset up for me, just because I don't really want to have it reset up for me, not use it, and then have it reset up for her. Just having a plan for if your bow goes down, which I've kind of looked in the area, and it looks like we have some bow shops not too far away. Actually, I think there might be one in town, but that would be that just is further peace of mind to know, you know, I can run into town, get my bow fixed, and not lose too much time on the mountain.
Another thing is the righty gets to be the odd man out on this trip. Clyde and I have a backup bow if one of our bows break.
Right. I was going to ask Cam to borrow his bow, but I don't think he'd like that. Not having his bow for 10 days.
I don't know how much he would like that. I don't know if I would.
But I also, one other piece of equipment that I have that I think is pretty crucial for being out there, is some sort of inReach, like a Garmin inReach or something like that. It's giving my wife and family a little bit of peace of mind just going out there, which I can also have this send our location, because we'll probably be hunting together now. Actually, we will be. So I'll have this be able to send, you know, our location to your wife and Clyde's wife, just to give them some peace of mind of us out on the mountains, let them know everything's going good, because we probably won't have great cell reception. That's not a necessary device, I wouldn't say, but for me it was, just so that I could somehow communicate with my wife, let her know I was okay. And there it is, we've got to the 45 minute mark and Deegan has finally dropped off. We've had some trouble with Riverside today, and somehow Deegan was able to get on and record. He was on and then he was off and then all of that, but I guess he's off now. We'll give him a second to get back on. All right, guys. So now that Deegan has dropped off the show, I just got a text from him saying he's having some technical issues getting back on. We've had some of those today, too, which has just been crazy trying to get everyone or get everything going today with Riverside and stuff. But I think we got enough for the show, so I'll go ahead and wrap it up. I wanted to remind you guys, if you're listening to our podcast on Apple Podcast or any podcast platform and you don't see our episode, try researching that in the search function. If you can't find our show, let us know, please. We had some podcast hosting trouble over the last week, and it looks like our show got deleted from Apple. I think I've got it back up there. But I think our old show, if you were following it, is stuck at 82 episodes. If you search our podcast, you'll be able to find the, I guess, new show, be able to follow that and have all of our episodes. You can always find our episodes on our website. That should be a constant thing. So justoneoutdoors.com. You can also find our YouTube channel on there, all of our other stuff. So go check that out. If you have the time, you can find our blog that we mentioned. And with that, you know, we're a week out as of today when this episode airs from leaving for Elk. We're super excited to bring you guys some content, some episodes, hopefully some cool videos, and just get to share that with you because we're super excited. Also pretty nervous, not going to lie, but overall really excited, and we're really just looking forward to it. So with that, we'll wrap this episode up. Don't forget to leave us a rating or review, especially on Apple Podcasts, since all of those got deleted. So if you left one before, you get to leave one again. That's a shameless little plug to go leave a review. Anyways, thank you guys for tuning in. Hope you guys enjoyed it, and we'll catch you on the next one. Always remember, don't give up. All it takes is just one. We'll see you next week.